We're talking about the Republican primary race for the 11th Judicial Circuit, and we'll turn now to the other Republican on the ballot, McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp. Knapp tells WGLT's Eric Stock why voters should support his move from the state's attorney's office to the bench.
My background is not the typical background of any lawyer, really. So I've done things much broader sense than I think many people that have come to the bench or the bar have done. I'm the only lawyer in town that both wrote significant portions of the Rivian development agreement and also tried Aaron Parlier and convicted him and got the longest sentence, criminal sentence in the history of McLean County. And when you represent a entity as complex as McLean County, it takes a lot of varied skills and abilities. Hopefully I learned so much of that when I was at the appellate court, and hopefully I've excelled at that.
You mentioned taking a different path to this judge race, and you have it another way, too. Prosecutors in McLean County, at least typically, have taken the path of a judicial appointment before running for an elected circuit seat, almost sort of a succession mindset where it perhaps places greater premium on experience on the bench. Is there a problem with that type of approach?
Well, Jason Chambers didn't. Carla Barnes didn't. And people have asked me about that. Why didn't you apply? Why didn't you wait and wait your turn and apply for an associateship? I went to work every day for 12 years. I'm sorry, a few months short of 12 years, just about 11 years and 8 months in an appellate justice's chambers. And for almost 12 years, I argued literally every area of the law, substantive and procedural, that comes before trial courts, wrote the opinions that decided whether trial courts from border to border, literally from the border, the Iowa border to the Indiana border in Illinois, whether those trial court judges and whether the trial courts acted properly or improperly. So I thought, or I believe, that that experience is invaluable. And I've worked for the judiciary for, like I say, almost 12 years.
And how does your perspective coming from the state's attorney's office and your family background in law enforcement impact how you will see cases in a fair and impartial manner?
So one of the things that you learn really quickly, and we talked about at the appellate court almost daily, was as lawyers on both sides, great lawyers. I mean, there are so many cases that go to the appellate court that skip the trial courts that come from the Illinois Commerce Commission. One of the opinions I wrote, the Illinois Commerce Commission ordered what they call CLECs, or some competing local exchange carriers and telecommunications, to just spend $5 billion and upgrade their infrastructure. And through the course of those conversations and those complex issues, I've sat down with judges of all levels, from trial courts to appellate justices, and we talk about, is this just, are we getting to an outcome-based determinative, or are we following the law? And having done that for 12 years, I believe that, yes, I have, my dad's a cop, was a cop for almost 40 years. Mom was a school teacher, and obviously I have an amazing amount of law enforcement support that I believe is an example, or is because of the job I've done as state's attorney. But I also believe that I can be fair and impartial because I've done that before. I've sat down and tried to know, am I trying to get to the outcome I want, or am I trying to get to the outcome that the law demands? Hopefully I'm pretty good at it.
Do you see yourself as being a tough-on-crime judge?
Probably, but actually I wouldn't say tough-on-crime, Eric. I would say I think, you know, judges can't talk about any issue that would come before them. But we can certainly talk about what we've done in the past. And hopefully I've got a good record of holding people accountable. And I think I would excel at holding people accountable. And holding people accountable doesn't always mean trying to get the maximum sentence or lock everybody up forever. I've been unashamedly vocal about, as state's attorney, if you decide to pick up an illegal gun and harm people in our community. I'm going to do everything within my means to remove you from this community. And that's part of the job of state's attorney. But the other thing I've done as state's attorney is I've expanded our deferred prosecution program to let in class 3 and 4 felonies, some low-level drug possessions that were never allowed to be let in. I have allowed, when you've got a fake ID in Illinois, that is a class 4 felony. And those were cases that Jason wouldn't allow in deferred prosecution, and he absolutely had his reasons.
Judge Chambers.
And what Jason would do is charge him as misdemeanors, and he believed that was enough of a break. And I absolutely understand that, and that is absolutely reasonable. We can't have, more than 10,000 fake IDs running around McLean County with our college students. So we've taken a little different tact under mine, and we started with deferred prosecution. And Amy Wick, who's a fantastic deferred prosecution coordinator, creates an individual program for everybody caught with those, and we start there. Do I have a lot of law enforcement support? Absolutely. Tough on crime? I don't know. I just think I would be somebody that would hold people personally accountable within the bounds of the law.
A major reform that will impact judges next year is the elimination of cash bail for defendants as part of the criminal justice reform bill. Some defense advocates have worried that judges may end up keeping some defendants in custody when they would not otherwise, since defendants won't be able to bond out. How do you approach that calculation of whether a defendant should be freed while awaiting trial without an option for bond?
Work through the statutory factors, and there will be a number of hearings and a number of a quantum of evidence produced, just like a bond hearing, but it will take a different shape, form, and size, and there will be different statutory factors that make things eligible and make things ineligible for pretrial detention. And that is something that the entire criminal justice system is now working through, this 750-some page bill to learn those factors and to learn the process.
But since it's ultimately a judge's call, do you expect that more will be held long term?
No, I don't think more will be held, because there's going to be less eligible. You know, the cash bail, no cash bail, the State's Attorneys Association, and I subscribe to this, I don't know anybody that works in the criminal justice system, myself included, that thinks people should be locked up just because they're poor. Nobody does. But what many of us believe is that it would be better for local judges to look at a defendant, hear the evidence, and decide who they think is a threat to the community or a threat to flight, and make that determination. What's happened now is, as Dr. Morin here at Illinois State University taught me many years ago about centralized decision versus decentralized decisions, now the General Assembly has decided there are only certain offenses even eligible for the pretrial detainment. So our local judges have had that discretion removed from them. Could potentially then, at a higher rate for the crimes that are eligible, could they potentially hold people at a higher rate so more people are in? Potentially, but I just don't think there's going to be that many eligible offenses that the pretrial detention is going to go up.
Your opponent has made the case that women are underrepresented on the bench, and that a lack of a diversity in perspective could impact cases. How do you see that?
Well, diversity means a lot of things to a lot of people. And when you look at my background, I'm a kid that grew up outside of Goodfield, Illinois, on a family farm. Went to law school in DePaul, and for a very short time started my career in Chicago at 5245 South Cottage Grove, pretty much on the northern end of Hyde Park, right near the Robert Taylor homes. I've worked in a cornfield in Illinois, and I've worked in the middle of the Robert Taylor homes. So that, as we talked about the breadth of my career and the breadth of the topics that I've dealt with, also there's diversity of perspective as well.
That's McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp with Eric Stock. Don Knapp and Amy McFarland are squaring off in the Republican primary for a seat on the 11th Judicial Circuit.